For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, July the 4th, 2015. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service teaching on Preparing for Coming Trouble. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Praise His name, praise His name. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about what's coming? I don't know how it's coming, but it's coming. I know it's coming because the Scripture says it's coming. We could be like Hezekiah and say, well, Lord, not my day. But it's, I'm afraid it's in our day. You know, it is. Matthew 25. And so, begin with verse 31. And Jesus speaking, He's speaking about the end times, okay? When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. This is coming. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King, that's the Lord, say unto them on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, it bothers me 30-something years, but since the foundation of the world. For I was unhungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. That's coming. We're going to have an opportunity to either do this or don't do this. Yeah. I mean, they're going to come out of those seas with nothing. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we you an hungered, and fed you, or thirsty, and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger, and took you in, or naked, and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick, and in prison, or in prison, and came unto you? And the King shall answer and say, And verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. The least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. I detest Christians that heap it on themselves. I'll just tell you right now, if that fits you, I'm sorry. I don't believe that's the will of God. I know it's not, I just read it to you. He said, if you have the goods of this world and you see your brother in need and you shut up your heart of compassion toward them, how dwells the love of God in you? How? You've got three cars and there's somebody in your church that rides the bus. You've got plenty of food. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul talked about that. They had that Sunday dinner on the ground thing, you know. And he said, some of you, you've got all this food, but and then somebody else comes and have nothing, and they're embarrassed. And if you're here and if you're listening on the internet and you've got all this stuff, and you won't help anybody, there are people, there's sweet people that are helping us with this, and God's going to honor that. God's going to honor that. I tell you that you have to hear from God. That doesn't mean you give to everything that comes along, folks. You could be wasting your money.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, when you live like a king and there are people around you that are not hardly existent, especially in the church, how can that go on in a church? How can it go on in a church? I have, in the last year, and I'm just telling you this, I have bought, three people cars. They weren't new, I couldn't afford that, but I bought them cars. And one of them, I bought them a car and they wrecked it. So I got him another one, and there's more to that, but I'll stop there. It's, what are you doing for anybody? Who have you helped lately? Are you an old stingy gut wouldn't share it with anybody? What are you? God's going to call you into account. And in these coming days, He's going to call you into account for what you do and what you don't do. So let's read on here. And then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. 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 We talk a lot about curses here. This is one curse you're not going to get out of. Into everlasting fire. Oh, this must be important to God. Fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Those people that won't help, He puts them right with the devil and his angels, the demons. For I was a hunger, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, said, Lord, when saw we you a hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto you? And he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What's the difference between the wicked and the righteous? What's the difference there? Is it lying, cheating, stealing? Whoremongering? What? What is it here? The righteous are the ones that give. The righteous are the ones that feed the hungry, clothe the naked. That's the righteous. And the wicked, I don't care if they, you know, when I was growing up, if you didn't miss Sunday, a single Sunday in the year, you got a little pen. And then the next year, you got another one that put on a little chain under that. And I remember some of the ladies had, they warmed with pride. They had them down to here. You know what? That ain't going to get you into heaven. It's not. But He said, you did it unto them, you did it to me. Whatever you do to them, when they come knocking on your door, whatever you do to them is what you're doing to Jesus. That's Jesus that showed up at your door, is what He's saying. Now, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, and I'm going to talk about Israel. He said, the least of these, my brethren. Who are His brethren? Who are His brethren? Oh, that's my kids. No. That's Israel. That's the Jew. That's the Jew. And some of you, I hope I didn't lose you right there. But that is, you just read the context here. Who is He even talking to here? You read the context of 24 and 25. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And see what what the scripture, the Holy Spirit has to say about the Jews. Some people think that the Gentile church has replaced Israel. The only thing is, Israel's still here. You know in the end time, God's going to deal with them. And so He says, let me see where I should start reading here. For I speak to you, verse 13, inasmuch as I'm an apostle of the Gentiles. He was a Jew, but apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. You know, the Catholics basically hate the Jews, but they worship a Jew. Her name's Mary. But they hate the Jews because the Jews killed a Jew, Jesus, but they worship Mary. I need to say this. Jews don't trust us. They don't trust the church. Why don't they trust the church? We said sweet people. Because throughout 2,000 years, the church has persecuted them, killed them, murdered them, starved them, mistreated them. But we're going to read here, that's not what the church was supposed to be doing. Hitler, he exterminated 6 million Jews. But he used a book as his excuse. That book was written by Martin Luther. And Martin Luther hated the Jews. He wrote a book, and Hitler took that book. It was against the Jews, and took that book as an excuse. Now, is it any wonder Jews don't trust us? They don't know any difference between the Pentecostal people and the Roman Catholic Church. They don't know what that is. They just know what Christians have done to them through the years. I could talk a long time about that. Even our own country folks, we could have helped them during that time. We didn't help them. We didn't enter that war to save the Jew. We entered that war for other reasons. Now, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh and might save some of them. You know what Paul said? He said, I would count myself as lost if it would mean their salvation. That's the way it felt. For if the casting away of them, the Jews, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving them be but life from the dead? You have to read the whole chapter, but I didn't want to read the whole chapter. It's all about this. For if the first fruit be holy, that's the Jew, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, meaning the Jews, and you, the Gentile, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root bears you. You will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. I'm better than them. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. Not because they crucified Christ, but because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. It's all on our faith. If we lose our faith, folks, we're out. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue his goodness, otherwise you shall also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, the Jews, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, and a lot of people are. This human reason is all it is, or parrot in what they heard from someone else. That blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Do you get that? The fullness of the Gentiles. We're getting there. We may be there. Where are the great revivals? Can I tell you another dream I had? That was earlier this week. And in this dream, first I was in a grocery store and they had some food that was damaged and I was collecting it. And that's what I do. But the next scene, someone and myself were going to Gentile Christian churches, visiting them. And we would come to them and there were these colossal buildings they were building, opulent, colossal, big, huge monstrosities, you know. Think of all the money that the Roman Catholic Church spent on those cathedrals where people were starving, you know. And they're building these. I wouldn't even pay the parking lot on our church for a long time because I'd rather give it to missions. We can park on the dirt. I mean, the gravel, not the dirt, not where we live. You get off, and if it rains, you get off the pavement or rocks, you're sunk. And people come there and learn. We tell them, well, you'll find out. You'll be hunting somebody with a tractor to pull you out. So we finally did so the kids could play basketball. And we didn't build a gym, but we just put some asphalt out there. Got gypped on that too. But yeah, beware of men that come by with a truck and a little thing that I'm going to put you in the parking lot there. Never mind. Now, I forgot where I was.
The dream.
Oh, the dream. Thank you so much. So the dream. So we went to the, and it's like they were unfinished, and what they had started was deteriorating, and there was no life in it, and one had even taken a portion inside the building and fixed a space for their small group of people that's left. It was dying. Will you agree with me that the American church basically is dying?
Yeah.
It is dying.
Yes.
And the wood can smell it. If we were what we were supposed to be, I don't believe our government would be trying to do what they're doing. But they smell our death and know that they can move now. They can move on us now. From there, we went to a synagogue, which I wouldn't know what a synagogue, I mean, I've seen them in Israel, but I've never seen, I don't know about one here, but I knew it was. And we walked in, and whoever was with me, and I felt a little uncomfortable, and there's a young man, a lot of young people, the young man standing there, I said, is it okay if we come in? And he said, well, just act like you're one of us. So I went in, and we went in, and there's people everywhere, and it's active, and it's alive. I mean, it's awesome. And we just came from death. And it's alive. And so, but then, it's like we went underground, and it was underground. It was, in the dream, it's important. It was underground, and it was like a city underground. And we walked through there, and I went one place, and there's a lady that was selling stuff, and it's like when I used to go to Mexico, if I couldn't figure out the money to exchange it, I just hand them my money, and I trusted, hand me back what I was supposed to get. So I just handed it to her, and she gave me some funny colored money I never saw before. And we're walking through there, though, and it's carved out of the rock underground. And I saw this tunnel, square tunnel underground, and I couldn't even see the end of it, and people were coming and going on that. I believe that, and what the Lord is, it's just like what he says right here. We're dying, and they're going to come alive. I said, they're going to come alive. But listen to this. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. Does that bother you? Did you ever see that? Did you ever see that? It's the Word of God, isn't it? All Israel shall be saved as it is written. If we want to be part of what God's doing, we better smell the roses or whatever we're supposed to smell and get with it. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And for this my covenant unto them will I take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. We like to talk about that, somebody backsliding. And I've told them, your gifts and callings are without repentance, and God will restore you. Who's he talking about, though? The Jews. His gifts and callings are without repentance. We don't need to be taken out of context. Who's he talking about in this chapter, folks? And you can read the rest of it. It's beautiful. Would you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 20? And this is important here. You say, well, why are you talking about helping the Jews? The first thing, when I moved out of my house that I built, me and my son's 3,000 square foot house, I got to where I couldn't stand to go there. Not because my wife wasn't there. I had already got used to that, but I just didn't even want to drive up there. I got tired of looking at my cows, the chickens, and everything else in the garden spot, and I didn't understand why. I did not understand why, but I knew it was making me sick to go home. And it was my wife. I just went up there and sat with her, but it wasn't that. And then God began to show me to move out and move in one of the buildings we have, a 5,000 square foot building. We had two, about 5,000 square foot, used to be our school. And that's a long story, but I obeyed God and I moved. I asked all three of my kids, and my daughter and her husband was the only one that wanted to move in there. And so I can't sell it to them because then my wife would lose her benefits. You understand? And one trip to the hospital would be more than, I'm serious, more than. So I moved up there about this time last year. Right after this camp, last year after I was at this camp. I moved in there, and then God started showing me this, showing me that. You know, if you take one step, he'll show you the next step. And you don't understand why, but he'll show you the next step. My grandkids, you see some of them running around here, got upset with me because that's a beautiful place, a wonderful place. And they said, Papa, I won't be able to come here anymore. And I said, well, I'll see you more up there, and I do. I live in an apartment in there. It's hard to move out of 3,000 square foot to 800 square foot. And where do you put all that junk, that you collect? How many of y'all got junk in your house? You need to get rid of. Praise God. And it's amazing what you collect. And some of it I won't touch because of my wife. I can't do that. And I haven't sold the van that has a lift in it. is just sitting there rotting down, but I can't sell that. I mean, you just understand I can't, because if she asks me, I got to tell her the truth, it's still there. I don't tell her she's not coming home. That would take away her hope. But she's beginning to realize it. Well, so I moved there, and then God starts showing me some things. I was, we're building and distrusting God and trying to find people to work, and we've had all kinds of problems. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. I've hired some people that bring drugs in there. We have people there that are, had problems with that, and they've come out of that, and, here they come supplying them and causing problems and different things, and it's been tough, and, my preacher friend in Cooper, he had a carpenter working for him, and I thought, well, I'm gonna go and, see if he'll let me hire the carpenter to stew with him. And so I was about to leave, and he said, I want you to go to a doctor's house tonight for a men's meeting. And I was gonna say, no, I won't go, you know. I was just gonna say no. And I didn't wanna go. And I started up my mouth and said, and you know what came out of my mouth? Yes, I'll go. It came out of my mouth. And so I met him in another town, so we could ride together. And on the way there, the Lord impressed me to say nothing. So say nothing. When I got there, I'm sitting there, and I'm bored out of my gourd. And I'm sitting there, and I don't want to leave. I said, Lord, when's this going to be over? When can I go home? They didn't pray for anybody. They didn't sing. They didn't worship. They didn't preach. They didn't. And they're just talking. And then this doctor who I found out, he had been a medical doctor in Greenville for 26 years. God told him to quit. He didn't know why. He wouldn't. God made him. That's what I was telling God Safeway. I wouldn't quit. So God shut the whole thing down, and I caused 8,000 people to lose their job. You can believe that or not. But anyway. So, he did, and then God opened up Kenya, and he went to Kenya, but then God started speaking to his heart, showing him some things about Israel in the end time. And I'm sitting there listening, and he's talking about refuges for Jews. He's talking about in Alaska, the Eskimos have been having visions and dreams of Jews coming across the Bering Strait from Russia. For 50 years they've been having these dreams and visions. And they have got 500 acres up there and built a place for them. Then he was telling about a man that was in Jerusalem, and the Lord told him, go home and have a Corrie Ten Boom ministry. What is that? Hiding the Jews. And so he did that, quit his job, and moved to Oklahoma. He's got a place over there. And he's just telling about that. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, that's why I had you come here. That's why. And something came all over me. And so I had him come to our church for four times to talk to our church, and they were they're excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm saying, this is exciting. And the unfortunate thing, I don't know if I can say that, about 2 weeks after the last time he came, he died of a massive heart attack. He's 63 years old. And I questioned that. I went to his funeral. There were about 500 people at his funeral, doctors, lawyers, all over the world. And he never pastored the church. But now what I'm seeing is, you know, less a grain of corn dying upon the ground, it abides alone. And the people that were following him, you know what I'm saying, following Jesus, but following him, and he's feeding them like a bird and all, now they're coming forth and ministering. It's awesome. It is awesome. Ezekiel 20 verse 34, and I will bring you out from the people. After he told that, I opened my mouth and told him what we were doing. He got all excited. We started the meeting up. The meeting started then. And, there's a group in another town that he's going and he was meeting with. And one of those men had a vision of people coming from the area of Dallas. He said, just a mass of people coming. And he said, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord told him, feed them. So he's trying to get food to feed them. You know, in Greece, you know what's happening in Greece? They defaulted. And they can only get $67, last I heard, out of an ATM. No matter what they've got in there, $67 is all they can get out in a day. How do you make your house payment on that? Or how do you live? And the news is saying there are already people digging in the dumpsters over there. I don't know that we're in much better shape than Greece if we are as in good a shape, really, financially. The only reason we're still afloat is because oil is traded in dollars. And that's going to end. They're working to, China and Russia are working to end that, and Saudi Arabia. And also because of the World Bank, you know, we heard that last night. These things are going to change, folks. And I will bring you, he's talking to the Jew, the Israel, I will bring you out from the people and will get you out of the countries wherein you are scattered. Now, he's talking about now. He's talking about this present day we're living in. This is now. This is not sometime in history. This is now. And with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm and fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. Now, lest you think that verse 34 means he's going to take them back. Some are going back to Israel. But that government that's in Israel now is going to be crushed. God can't use that. They have abortion there. They have all the stuff we've got. We're the 21st nation to legalize gay marriage. We're the 21st. Okay? Unless you think we're the sorry ones of all the world, no. And you know no Muslim country's doing it. And some others. But anyway, Israel is corrupt. I mean, what's over there now is corrupt. And God's going to smash that. There's a lot of things going to happen that God's going to do. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. We are the people. You understand that? He's talking about the people, the Gentile, the people. The wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, says the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels. Now, when the Apostle Paul said all Israel be saved, what he's saying is he's going to purge them, and the ones that are left are going to be saved. That's what I believe that's meaning. After he sifts them, Hitler killed 6 million. But what's coming is going to be greater than 6 million. Right now, Netanyahu is inviting people from Europe, Jews from Europe, to come home because they're under great persecution there. You know, you remember back when the guy murdered a lot of them there in France, and I watched on the news a guy that had hidden cameras walking in front of a Jewish man. And he had it arranged somewhere so he could catch it. And he's walking down the street there in France. People are throwing things at him, cursing him, spitting on him. They're being persecuted in Europe. Now, they're going to be persecuted here. They're going to be persecuted here, folks. They're going to be chased and hunted here in this country. Can you not believe that when the man who's the president? Can you not believe that? I mean, do you see that? It's coming. They're always blamed. If something goes wrong, Hitler blamed them for problems. They're always blamed. And God's going to do something. They're going to be blamed. They're going to be hunted all over this world. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, there's many other scriptures that talks about God taking them to the wilderness, the solitary place, the lonely place, and deal with them. Here's what I want to tell you. That God will send them to you. There's places all over this country, and most of them don't know about each other, that God is speaking to do this. And it's not that just we're going to do that. When I finally got brave enough to put on a website, and if you'd like to receive our email, give me your email address. And if you want to see Dr. Smith, four sermons that he preached, you can go to our website, recoveringthechurch.org, and he's on there. But right now the numbers are messed up. I messed them up. And you just have to see which one's right. You'll see what I'm talking about if you go there. And then Bob Gorman from Sunday, he's on there. But I'm so excited. I've got something to do. But I finally got brave enough to put it on, send it out, and a lady emailed me immediately, and she said, 2 weeks ago the Lord told me, you think you're preparing for homeless people to come. That's what I thought it was supposed to be. Homeless people to come, and we do have, and I want to do that. But she said there are going to be desperate, hungry people coming. And that's what I said. We're preparing for the people coming when this happens. So you may, there are going to be other people there. And I want to tell you this, the Jews are, when the Jews come, they're going to be hard to deal with. They're going to be hard to deal with. If you watch Corrie ten Boom, there was one man on there, it always stuck out to me, there was one man that was so obstinate. He wanted his food at a certain time. He didn't want the kids to be too loud. He didn't want this. He didn't want that. And he refused to work. The others were complaining. And they're going to be like that. Because, you know, most of them, not all of them, but a lot of them live pretty good. God's blessed them, hasn't he? God's blessed them. I mean, they're high. They're the most influential people in Hollywood. The Jews are. But when they come, but here's the thing. When they act so nasty and hateful, but you show them the love of Jesus, and you don't get rattled, and you don't kick them out, but you show them the love of Jesus. And the scripture, we're supposed to provoke them to jealousy, but the church, so-called church, has done the opposite and made them hate us. But we're supposed to provoke them to jealousy that they'll be saved. That's what the Apostle Paul said. So when they come, if you receive them, if God sends them to you, and he said, I'm going to plead to you face to face, we're going to show them the love of Jesus. And they might get saved right there, or they might get saved the next place if they're, you know, running to get wherever they've got to go. Because it will probably be illegal to hide Jews here, just like it was in Corrie ten Boom in Holland. It'll probably be illegal. Well, the main thing I want to say to you is, if we pray about it, you don't have to do anything I say. You may think I'm a kook. I don't know. But I haven't been one so far in my life. I don't know why I do it now. But I don't think I've been. But I'm not crazy. I'm putting everything I've got into this. I know it's coming. God showed me. What else do I need? And I'm gonna stand with God's help. I'm gonna stand before Him, and He's gonna say, "Blessed are you, because you did it unto me." And he said, because you did it unto my brethren, the least of these my brethren. And if God sends some Jews there, I'm going to do all I can to take care of them, even if it's risky. You know, the Ten Boom family went to prison over that. And all of them but Corrie ten Boom died in prison. So praise God. Will you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Only do this if the Lord tells you to. There was two ladies here last time, the last camp, and I don't see them here now. They live up in Oklahoma, and they're doing that. God spoke to them to get ready. And there's some other folks that drove to our church from Gilmer, Texas. That's a pretty good distance. Came one Sunday morning, and they're doing it. Two ladies, two other different ones, and their husbands are with them. And one of them is just going to set up tents for people. And whoever, if they're Jew, Gentile, and they come, and we'll show them the love of Jesus. Don't shoot them. Show them the love of Jesus. Some of you think I'm off the wall here. That's okay. But when it happens, you're going to remember that this man told you about it. You're going to remember Brother Williams told you last night. God never does anything unless He tells His people about it. You know? I'm going to be bold. I'm going to tell you, if He's not telling you, you might not be His. Or your ears are stopped up or something. It's coming. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Help us to prepare, Father, to do your work. It's always been your plan, Father, for your people to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give a shelter to those that have none. Praise God. You know, I didn't get to this, but you know, if you by faith, you'll share what you've got, God will multiply just like that widow woman did. He did for the widow, right? If you feed them, God will make sure you're fed. Believe me on this. He will. He'll multiply. He still knows how to multiply loaves and fishes. And you'll be called righteous. And he'll tell you, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Don't just be thinking about yourself and your family, your immediate family. Take care of them, yes. But get ready. Quit squandering your money. Quit wasting your money on trinkets, junk. Quit eating high alcohol when you could eat cheaper and store some stuff up and get ready. You know, during the Y2 thing, you know, during the when 2000, had a neighbor across the road. She got two propane tanks, huge ones. She had water, big water tanks in her garage. She had this, she had that. Other people did, and nothing happened. And so you know what? A lot of you might be saying, "Well, ain't nothing gonna happen." I think that was planned, so we wouldn't. I don't really know what to do here, but I know God wants to speak to some hearts. If you are willing, just whatever God, what you'll pray and you'll seek God. I'm not taking an offer. But if you just pray and seek God, say, "God, what do you want me to do? I did not know this." I'd say a year ago, I didn't know this. I'm so convinced that did Joseph know it? No, he didn't. Did the widow woman know it? No, she didn't. But she shared what she had. And it wasn't much. God bless you. Praise God. If you are willing, I believe the Lord wants it. Or it's fine. If you're willing to do this, whatever God shows you. I didn't tell you what kind of food to get together, did I? I didn't tell you this or that. I know what God's showing us to do is different from what He's showing us some other people to do, and that's okay because we live in different places and different situations. But just ask God what to do. Praise God. The Lord told that man's wife, put up a year's supply of food, and she didn't do it. 6 months later, He said, "Why haven't you done it?" Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. And if somebody comes and steals it from you, at least you fed them. Praise God. I think it would be good if you're willing to do whatever God has shown you to do, if you just come and stand here at the front and just say, "God, here I am. And if you'll show me," maybe it's already shown. Maybe like last time people were talking to me about it. Would you, if you say, "Yes, Lord, I will," you just come and stand. And I commit myself to be used of you in this end time. I'm not going to be afraid, as we heard last night, but I'm going to be excited to do what you want me to do. I will, Lord. And I believe you for supernatural help, Lord. God's helped us supernaturally to do these things. I'm going to tell you this, if we weren't doing it, we wouldn't have got the help we got. I know we wouldn't. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just tell the Lord your will. Would you just tell Him, praise God? Lift your hand and say, "Lord, here I am." Who would have thought a widow woman in Zarephath? Who would have thought? Jesus even talked about that. Who would have thought? And you say, "Who am I that I can help anybody?" Praise God, He used that widow woman.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.